thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast, all presented to you by FanDuel. Of course, I'm Dan Bach, and if you hear a little excitement in my voice, it's because, of course, it's Thursday. It's the start of the NFL season, first game of the year, first late for regular season football begins, and I hope you're taking advantage of all the great content we have here at rotogrinders.com. You don't need me to tell you this, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is actually might be an amazing Thursday slate for you to play because, well, it's a good football game. You might want to watch it. And I also think you're going to have a lot of people just rostering guys from this Thursday night because, well, they want to cheer for somebody on Thursday night football. Don't be that guy. This is not a good fantasy matchup. Two of the best defenses, a new quarterback out there, and Semien out there for the Broncos. Be smart, fade this game, give yourself a nice advantage moving into the Sunday games, and it's kind of a unique setup. Obviously, FanDuel, the same for their Sunday slate as they are for their Thursday slate. DraftKings, though, if you want to play the Monday players in a full slate of games, you have to play Thursday because their main Sunday slate does not have them. So if you want to play Gurley or Jordan Reed or DeSean Jackson or Kirk Cousins, any of those guys, Carlos Hyde, you got to play them in your Thursday lineup. So I think, you know, the build on DraftKings for Thursday is kind of fun because it's different than what you're going to be doing for your Millionaire Maker or your Sunday lineup. Certainly, I know I'm pumped to have it back. So tons of great stuff obviously happening at Roto Grinders. Touched up on it a little bit at the end of last show, but we've got a new Quick Build app. It's called Roto Grinders Quick Build. Check it out. Make sure you download it. Leave a 5-star review. That would be very helpful in terms of trying to make it climb the old app rankings. But it's basically an optimizer on the run. Allows you to kind of use your own projections, edit our projections, and then we'll kind of help you spit out what would be the optimal lineup for you. And it's available for both FanDuel and DraftKings. They're actually in separate apps, so make sure you check that out if you haven't done so already. Just a new feature for you over at RG. Obviously, a ton of great content last night. We had 3 hours of football talk all on podcast form. So if you're listening to this one, you might have seen those in the podcast feed. So great stuff for you to listen to as we lead up into the weekend. Today on the show, no game analysis. I'm giving you an interview and a really good one. Jason Robbins, CEO of DraftKings, jumps on with us. Very candid in our conversation, which is great. You know, I think that's important. And I think we asked some pretty good questions for him about a lot of different aspects of their site, both in the past and moving forward. So let's jump right into it. My conversation this morning with Jason Robbins of DraftKings here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. All right, excited for our next guest. He's always fun to talk to here on this very show. It's been a long time since we've had a chat, but of course, football season kicking off tonight, and DraftKings, they are loaded up. Honestly, I don't know if I've ever seen their lineup or their lobby quite as busy as it is right now. They've got new features. They've got multiple live finals, and we got some catching up to do. We're with talking today with their CEO, Jason Robbins. Jason, always great to have you on the podcast. Busy time, my man, I'm betting.
Oh, yeah. Always great to be on. I love doing this. Thanks for having me.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the last kind of 12 months. It's been crazy. You've obviously had some highs, some frustrating lows. But I'm curious from your standpoint as a leader of your company, how difficult was it during maybe a few of those low months to kind of keep morale up with your team through everything you were going through and really not having certainty how things were going to work out? Was that difficult?
You know, I think course it was difficult, but we have such an incredible group of people, and they're so dedicated to the mission and to what we're doing. And the nice thing about working in a place like DraftKings is that you have so many people that are just passionate about the product, passionate about the customer, really just want to deliver the best experience possible, and that's what drives them. And I think in some ways it actually energized people. It made us feel like, hey, you know, maybe things have been easy. And I actually remember I gave a speech, to the company around beginning of September or so. We had just hit record numbers. We were acquiring millions of new customers, and everything was exploding, and we were raising tons of money in financing, and we were, you know, we had become number one in market a couple months before, and all those things were great. And I said to the team, you know, this is awesome. We're having a really great run here, but you can't get too high because we all are going to have some challenges. And I'm going to tell you then that you can't get too low. You just got to keep a focus on what you're trying to build for the long term, what we think this is going to look like 5 years from now. And I think that that's the same message that I gave them when things were tougher. Hey, listen, we just talked a few months earlier, good timing, about how when things are going great, you can't get too high. And I think everyone just, like I said, believes so much in what we're doing in the long run that, you know, being able to kind of take a little bit of focus off of whatever's going great or whatever might not be in the moment, just focus on the bigger picture. That's all I was trying to create. Luckily, we have such a great group of people there that it wasn't that hard to do.
Let's take a look back on the date, June the 18th, obviously the last day of the legislature out there in New York in session. I know you put in countless amount of time and hours and obviously resources to try and get a bill passed, and there we are sitting at 2 a.m., and some people are saying, you know, potentially the industry, your business, the future kind of hangs in the balance potentially on that outcome. How exhausting and stressful was that whole process in terms of trying to get that bill passed in New York, especially, let's face it, when it came down to it, it was out of your hand. You could do everything you possibly could, but they still had to put the vote forth. Take me through kind of that night in that process.
Oh, man. The whole process was just, is again, another example of just up and down, and maybe even in a more concentrated way. This guy, Jeremy Coudon, who's the partner at Oryx that runs all the lobbying across the nation for the industry, I was texting and calling him every day. He's probably so tired of hearing me. One day it was like, we're great, this is definitely going to get done. And literally the next day we're screwed. There's no way we're getting this done. And it was a little crazy. It was hard to pull yourself out of the fray because it was kind of like, you know, the same way when you're playing daily fantasy. And part of you just wants to shut it off and check your scores in an hour or two, too much. And also part of you just can't take yourself away. You want to watch. You've got to see every play. And I sort of felt the same way. I kind of wanted to put it down and just say it is what it is. I also wanted to make sure that I was paying attention. If there's anything I could do to help get across the finish line, I was doing it. And, you know, when it finally at the very end got done, it was in the late hours of, or really the early hours of the morning after. And you know, they ended up coming up, and the vote wasn't even close. It just shows you how a lot of that stuff works. I think it's like 47-50 or something like that, which shows you they clearly had the votes. It was just, you know, are the right discussions going to be had to make this a priority, to get it out on the floor and things like that. And that, the nerve-wracking part about all that is you just have no idea what's going on. It's totally out of your control. You think you've done everything you can, and you just have no clue what's going to happen. It might even have nothing to do with this. It might be that you become a casualty, some other issue that they're horse trained on. So that was pretty nerve-wracking, but man, was it a relief. It was really a relief, not even a moment of celebration when finally they came out and voted.
Now, you recently raised a tremendous amount of capital just a couple of weeks ago that came out. Do you think you would have been able to close that deal if New York had not passed?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because everyone talked about how New York was really the pivotal point for the industry, that if New York went a certain way, that's the way the industry was going to go. And I think in some ways that's a little ludicrous. Well, it's a huge state. It's one state. And while other states certainly may pay attention to what they're doing, some states are had already at that point, I think there have been 6 or 7 just this year, and 8 or 9 total, they had already passed legislation. So from that end, it was like, maybe people overstating it. But the point you just made is really why New York was ultimately the pivot point in the industry. I think for better or for worse, it would be looked at that way, and therefore those that might be investors, I don't know. I think maybe we wouldn't have been able to raise that capital without it. Never know for sure. But I can tell you that it played a huge factor in having people feel comfortable that this is a viable company that's going to be able to grow and continue to achieve all the things that we want to achieve.
We're joined with Jason Robins, CEO of DraftKings. And, you know, you've been amazing when it comes down to, you know, raising capital for your company. The $150 million raise that just came up was very impressive, especially, you know, it came via a new investor, a lot of it, which is interesting, especially with the industry kind of far from its peak, which a lot of people looked at maybe a year ago. Tell me a little bit about the Revolution Group, the company that kind of was the lead investor this round, and how you think they can help DraftKings beyond just delivering an influx of cash right now.
Revolution is pretty much, like, if I could draw up the perfect investor for us, it would be them. They touch on all of the key areas. They're very technology focused. The founders of the firm were the guys behind AOL, and a lot of the early kind of internet technology stuff. They're incredibly strong on the sports side. One of those founders, Ted Leonsis, owns the Capitals, owns the Wizards. They have a lot of investments in sports technology companies like Sport Radar, for example. And then they also have deep expertise on the policy side. They're located in Washington, D.C., and they really do understand that world well, how it all kind of plays together with what we're doing and sort of, you know, how to make sure that you navigate those waters in a way that gets us to the right outcome. So it's pretty much the perfect partner for us. You have a guy named Steve Murray who joined our board. He's part of there. He just recently joined there to lead their private investing. I'm really excited about bringing them on board. I think they're going to help us. I think they're going to help the industry.
Now, a few weeks ago, obviously, there was the ESPN article, very lengthy piece in their magazine about DFS. Haven't heard what your kind of thoughts were on it. Do you think that they were unfair in their depiction of DraftKings and the industry at large? What were your thoughts?
You know, it's always hard because I'm biased, right? And I think that when you see something that appears negative, of course, you're going to want to say, hey, I don't think they were fair or anything like that. But trying to be as objective as I can, the way I would put it is, I actually think it was disappointing the way the headline and the opening and the overall positioning came out. Because if you look at the content of the article, there's actually a lot of, like, detail in there about things. And they did get to some of the successes of New York and other places, but it wasn't until the very end of the article. And I feel like in a lengthy article like that, it's like 10,000 plus words, most people are just going to read the headline and the first few paragraphs. And the first few paragraphs were so sensationalized that I think it lost a lot of people. And they said, you know what, this is just, they're sensationalizing it. I can't take this seriously. And it's unfortunate because I do think that there was a lot of good detail and content in the rest of the article. And maybe overall, the perception of it is that it was a super negative piece. But that's really just the first few paragraphs. I actually don't think it was very negative if you go into it. As I've learned, though, with the media, that's just generally how it works. Most people don't remember all the details of the article. They remember the headline, one or two key takeaways, and it's usually the stuff in the opening paragraph.
I actually totally agree with your take on that completely from top to bottom. During that, the visual piece, they did do an interview with you, and you actually showed a pretty good bit of contrition about the marketing message DraftKings purveyed in their ads a year ago. Now, my contention's kind of been that I always felt it was maybe less about the message and more about the volume of ads, simply because...
Oh, yeah.
Because let's face it, I mean, the message wasn't that much different than we've seen over the last couple of years in the daily fantasy space. So, you know, my question is, like, how much of the outcry do you think was about the volume versus the message of those ads a year ago?
Oh, I think it was definitely about the volume more than anything, because you're exactly right. The messaging wasn't all that different. In fact, by the time we get week two of the NFL season, we totally switched the messages much more like what we're doing now. So I think it was more the volume. That said, I do think that it's the combination, really, because what I mean by that is when you're running a high volume of ads and you're reaching a lot of people that are unfamiliar with you and maybe even don't have interest in your product, and you come with a message that doesn't necessarily tell the full story of what your product is and paints it in a sort of simple light. And, you know, hindsight's 2020, but the reason a lot of times marketers do that is they want to create a simple message to skip people to try it out, and they think, hey, once they try it out, they'll realize all these other things they like about it. But if you don't get them to try it, they're never going to realize those things. And I think we got caught up a little bit in thinking that way, and we didn't think about the fact that there's going to be a lot of people that won't try the product. They're just going to have an overall impression and view of the industry because of the volume of ads they're getting exposure to it that they weren't before. And I think that those people are the ones that we probably more than even ironically, the people who played, really created the wrong impression in mind with the advertising. I think most people who play are like, okay, I get why, you know, sometimes they advertise, you know, hey, I can win something big because it's something that's a message that'll get people to try it out. So once we try it, there's all these things we love about it. But if you never try it, you don't know that. You just view it as, hey, these guys are selling some get-rich-quick thing, and it's a flash in the pan. It's not a real product that people get a glimpse out of. And that combined with the volume, I think, really just made people think of us in a way we didn't want.
Now, speaking of the message, you guys maybe switch gears a little bit. I kind of agree with you. I think that, you know, you switched it up at the end of last season or during last season. But I'm wondering, is there any fear that, you know, the particular message that you're rolling with now, which is clearly more social, playing against your friends, you obviously have the leagues feature. Is there any worry that that message might fall a little bit short in terms of driving customers as well as some of the ads that you maybe had in the past that you know are successful?
You know, I think that there's always, any time you change from something that you know is working, there's always some risk. But we test everything, and the ads that we're running now, we tested, and they perform just as well as those other ads. So it really isn't. I think we're actually now able to create a good blend of it, because we do have that message that's more about playing with your friends and things like that, but we also generally will make it clear at the end of the commercial that there's a contest or something else cool that kind of gets at that. So I actually think we're blending it a little bit better than we used to before. And, you know, I think over time, these ads are going to perform even better as people get more and more familiar with what the product is and understand how what we're describing is really a fun aspect of it.
I want to talk about leagues here real quick. This was a big rollout for you guys this season, and you've got a lot of new features, and I think even more that are coming down the pipe. But leagues is something which I know you guys spent a ton of time on, but I'm wondering, like, was this just the, like, initial, you know, the first stroke on the canvas, the first kind of rollout? Is there going to be more to it? And what's maybe the long-term vision with leagues? Because I feel like what you rolled out was good, but I still think, like, for a company who really dives so deep into to the technology aspect and is so good on that front, I almost expected a little bit more. Is there more that we're going to see over time with leagues?
Oh, absolutely. Leagues is what we call MVP, minimum viable product, which is a way of saying it's good enough to get out the door, but it's nowhere near what we're going to ultimately do with it. We view leagues as a foundation, and the foundation is really, how do you get people? So if you look at, taking a step back, what made season-long fantasy sports successful? I played season-long fantasy sports back when they first hit the internet, and it was mostly people entering into public contests, all these different varieties of games, and over time, those people that initially fell in love with it, they started bringing in their friends, and that evolved to the next sort of 30, 40 million people that really were coming in and playing in this league format. I think you're going to see the same sort of thing happen daily, where first, you know, 5, 10 million adopters are coming in to love the game, and I think that the next 30, 40, 50 million plus that are coming in are going to be coming into that group of people, though. And they maybe like playing in the public games, but they also like and maybe even prefer playing with their friends. And I kind of get that. I prefer playing fantasy sports with my friends, even though I love fantasy sports and play it in other ways. I do prefer playing with my friends. So, you know, that's the core concept behind it. How do you build a foundational structure that allows people to create these groups of friends that probably mirror the same groups of friends that they're playing a season long with, but can also flex up to be the Roto Grinders League, where everyone who's on Roto Grinders can join a league. So how do you create these groups of people that have an interest in playing with each other and then build all this stuff around it? The initial product was just let them challenge contests and things that are restricted just to that group, track some basic stuff and leaderboards, and manage that commissioner setting. Also, we set it up where you could do current contests, so it would automatically recreate. You don't have to do the same thing every week. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much we could do from there to increase gameplay, increase the social interaction, make it more exciting for people, allow people to follow their friends and how they're doing. Honestly, the Facebook-style news feed where, you know, all suddenly different pop up, the Dan Bass in 10th place, the Millionaire Maker, check it out, watch it. There's so much you can do, but the foundational piece is it's almost like the Facebook friends web or Twitter. Like, you got to have those groups defined, and then you just build everything else up around it. That make sense?
Yeah, you sold me on a lot there with that because, again, like I know what you strive for in your guys' product, and I just knew that you guys were better than what you put out with that in the long term. So it's good to see you've got a vision. I like it. I like it a lot. Jason Robbins, CEO of DraftKings with us. Millionaire Maker makes a return here week one. It's been a staple at DraftKings over the last several years. And you mix things up a little bit, though. 2 million entries at $3 a piece. How do you project this tournament to fill? Like, do you think that it is going to fill? Obviously, we've got a few more days to go before that happens. And are we going to continue to see weekly Millionaire Maker tournaments on DraftKings moving forward?
So, you know, I think first is to explain the concept behind it. Kind of the same approach that we try to take with the whole product, we take with our contest, where we're always trying to get feedback from people and improve them. And what we heard from people is, look, a lot of people like these big GPPs where they can win the big prize, and that's a good thing. But they feel like when you have to enter at $20 or $30 or some of the other places we charge, it can just get a little bit too expensive. And for that style of contest, they prefer to be able to have a low entry fee, maybe allow them to put in a few extra entries, so on and so forth. That's really what we were trying to do. It's one game, and I know a lot of people prefer 50-50 other stuff, so it's one game. A lot of people like it, but how do we make it better? And I think the obvious thing to make it better is to lower the price point. As far as how it does, you know, we'll see, and we'll see what that means for the future. If it does well, then I want to continue to run a big $3 millionaire every year, or every week, excuse me. And if it doesn't do well, then we'll have to figure out if now we can do it at $5 or something else, or if we just have to go back to $20. But I think the goal is really to try to improve the product by making it responding to what people are asking for.
A couple more things, and we'll let you go here real quick. The live finals, you're going to New York, and then you just announced yesterday you're going back to Atlantis in the Bahamas. And as somebody who's been to a previous DraftKings live final in the Bahamas, I can attest to the greatness that they are. So I really recommend people to check that one out. And I also really want to commend you guys, too. It seems like a very more attainable, maybe, live final for people who, you know, don't have exceptionally large bankrolls. I mean, I even looked at the qualifiers you have out there today, $3 and $9 the buy-in with a 5-entry max. That's a really solid setup, I think, for a lot of people. And I think, you know, you should be commended for kind of structuring a live final in a way that maybe, you know, some smaller stakes players view themselves at having, you know, a fairly decent chance at qualifying. So want to commend you on that. And then New York, is this kind of a, I don't say homage, but a gesture back to them? Like, why'd you choose New York for the location for the football championship?
I mean, it's definitely an homage. I think that New York, as you know, we discussed earlier, has been such a central place of interest in the fantasy sports industry, and it's also happens to be one of the greatest cities in the world. An incredible place to have been. There's all kinds of great things around you, and a lot of people, I think, are going to have a good time traveling to New York for that live final. And hopefully we'll be able to get some good media coverage because there's a lot of media in New York. So, you know, everything, it was definitely an homage, but it's not like we picked a location that was also a great place on every other division. It kind of worked out that way.
And you still have the beach out there in Atlantis, too. So if people want the warm weather, that's where they can go. Final thing.
So we're trying to run more live finals. You know, so part of your comment earlier is another place where we got feedback last year that, hey, it's great. We were in a 15 million live final last year, and everyone said, hey, it's great to see the big numbers, but you know, at some point, it's not just about getting the numbers bigger, it's about making it more accessible to people, it's about having multiple options. There's different types of live finals you can go to. We'd rather see some smaller ones, but more of them running at, you know, low dollars, low entry caps, and hopefully that's what people will respond to in the way you're saying as well.
Yeah, I think you achieved that. Final thing, about a month ago, DraftKings, you guys rolled out your community guidelines and instituted the kind of game integrity unit within the company. I think it's a fine idea and a really good start, but, you know, obviously you're going to have some people who are skeptics and, you know, might view it more as lip service than actual action. So I wanted to know, curious, like, how is DraftKings, you know, because I know you guys really respect player privacy, and that is very much important, but I also do think it's somewhat important to quantify to the community, you know, how you guys are actually reacting to these claims in these situations. So, I mean, how many cases of maybe unfair play have you already been able to detect, and how has this, you know, new game integrity unit, how has it gone for you? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think you described some of the really tough challenges, right? If you want to create transparency, we want to be able to have clear guidelines that people know aren't just lip service and being enforced. At the same time, it's not just that we respect player privacy, there's also huge legal concerns there. A lot of the regulations states cover making sure that privacy laws are being followed. And it's unfortunately a little bit counter to some of the transparency, I think, that people are looking for, but there's just no way that we can reveal certain types of information. It would be opening ourselves up to lawsuits, and we certainly don't need any more of those. So, you know, there's that. And then I think for the other question of, you know, how often time, what we're trying to do is just continually get better, just like we do in the rest of the product. We threw something out there at community guidelines that probably a lot more thought and debate than anyone ever could imagine went into. It was only a handful of rules, but I cannot tell you how intensely that was debated before we released it. And I'm sure we didn't get everything perfectly right. And we want feedback from people, and we want people to tell us how we can make it better, and we want people to tell us how, within what we're able to do, we can, you know, create more confidence in that with them, that we're following through and we are doing what we're saying we're doing. And, you know, just also ask that everyone understands that not everything is possible, that there's laws and other things that prevent it. And also, we're going to get better over time, which means that we might make some mistakes and we might have to learn on some things. This is new for everyone. And I think the most important thing is to make sure that the feedback is constructive and done in the spirit of how do we help make this all better for everyone. And as long as that's the case, we're going to just continue to see everything around this area get better and better over time.
Well, he is Jason Robbins. Again, DraftKings, big week one. Tons of stuff for you out there. I really appreciate your candidness, as always, here on the podcast, Jason, and giving us some time here. I know it's going to be a busy couple of days. And best of luck moving forward. Thanks again.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great day today. I'm excited. My second favorite day of the year, like I said. You know my favorite day of the year?
I'm betting it's Sunday, assuming all the technology runs just swimmingly, because I always still get nervous, and I'm sure you probably do as well.
Yeah, you know, you're a good point. I actually may like this day better. From a football fan standpoint, but from making sure everything's working standpoint, Thursday is a little easier than Sunday.
Yeah, well,
I'm not worried about that. I think we have good technology. We'll be fine.
Well, that's good to hear. Hey, congrats on getting everything off the ground here this football season, and we'll chat again soon. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Dan. Bye.
All right, much thanks to Jason for joining us. Quickly, I'm going to tell you about my friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Proud supporter here of the Roto Grinders, Daily Fantasy Fix, and Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. It's fast, powerful, completely online, and Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. If you hate searching through stacks of old files and paperwork, with Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share that bank statement and pay stubs at just a touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's tailored to your unique financial situation. Even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do it all from your phone or tablet. It's a quick, easy online process, simply managed from the convenience of your couch. So if you're looking to refinance that mortgage or buy a new home, check out Rocket Mortgage today, quickenloans.com/roto. That's quickenloans.com/roto. Disclaimer, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. All right, that's going to wrap us up for today. Tomorrow, Friday, I'll be traveling to the Roto Grinders kickoff party out there in Nashville. I think I might be able to sneak a podcast in the morning. We'll see what we can do. In the meantime, be sure always to follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you can get a podcast. find this one and download it. Subscribe to our YouTube page. Tons of amazing content for you. We got three different six packs, two for FanDuel, one for DraftKings, along with Head Chopper videos. I think we've got three this week, which are tremendous, and all of our great live shows. If you subscribe, you can basically set it up to kind of alert you when we're going live with our shows. So don't miss out on that. We thank you so much for listening to this very podcast. Until next time, I'm Dan Bach, and we'll chat with you Friday morning here on rotogrinders.com. See you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders.